This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. You can find us here on YouTube, and we encourage you to report for duty. Get trained up. War on the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. I want to encourage you right now to subscribe right here on YouTube to this channel. Smash the like button and share a link to our live chat room to everyone you know right there on Facebook. Get them to come on out and tune in and join in the fight against the host of hell. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons, tune again. We're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe. Good evening, Tom. How are you, my friend?
Yes, good evening. I'm very fine, and you're 5x5.
Fantastic. We're right on time. Everybody, welcome aboard. We're going to kick off our Tuesday marathons here on January 25th, 2022, and honored to be here with Major Tom Baird. Brother Tom, we've got this hour together. Would you like to open us up in prayer?
Yes, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for having watched over us and kept us safe throughout this week, the week past, and for your hand upon us now, delivering us from evil. Hide us in the secret place of you, the Most High God, we ask. Cover us with your wings. Protect us and provide for us. For we have to lean on and rely on you now. Because mankind, the rulers of mankind, have turned against your creation. We ask, Lord, that you interfere with all that they do, expose those wicked things that they are doing, and remove them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I say amen to that. Brother Tom, the mic is yours, my friend. God bless you.
Well, thank you. Well, we had, the last time we had met, we had finished with with Enoch, and it turns out that he had been asked by the fallen angels to go before God and petition God on their behalf. When in fact it should have been the other way around, if they had been up in their own estate, but they had left their own estate. So God came back with a judgment on that. And essentially it says, well, I can just read it. Now the Nephilim, who have been born of the Spirit and earth, evil spirits they are, and on earth shall be their habitation. Evil spirits shall proceed from their flesh, because they were created from above, from the holy watchers, which their beginning and primary foundation. Evil spirits shall they be upon the earth, and the spirits of the wicked shall they be called. The habitation of their spirits of heaven shall be in heaven, but upon the earth shall be the habitation of the terrestrial spirits who are born on earth. Essentially, what it's saying is when the individuals that are the progeny of the union between earth women and fallen angels, called the Nephilim, those giants only have spirits and bodies, because that's all that the Watchers had. It's interesting. As you think about it, God has a soul. He in fact, has the key to the creation of a soul. You can't create what you don't have. But God has a spirit, a soul, and a body. That's why we really are God's children. From Adam and Eve, when they were first created, became the children of God. Now more than anything else, because we really are made in the likeness and image of God, we are His children. Particularly if we behave like we should. Now, the next thing we run into after Enoch, in fact, it was before Enoch that the revelation that there was going to be a destruction of a great flood upon the earth. And Enoch was given a lot of details on that. He did a lot of righteous training. I get my tongue tied here. Righteous training upon the earth at that point in time when he was alive. Now his son was Methuselah, and then Methuselah's son was Lamech, and then Lamech's son was Noah. So Noah is the great-grandson of Methuselah and the great-great-grandson of Enoch. We find also that when Noah was born, book of Jasher, where it gives a little bit more detail. When Noah was born, he was pure white. He was the first man, child of man, who was born totally white. Everybody had been red up until that point in time. Now, after Noah, it's interesting that we have red, yellow, black, and white coming from him, from his genetics. Nevertheless, when God told Noah to build an ark, and Noah witnessed at the same time that he was building the ark, telling the individuals that repent, change your ways, and be prepared to get on the boat, on the ark. Now, most of us, because it doesn't tell us anything, assume and are taught that the flood came as a gentle rising of the ocean. Well, unfortunately, the latest archaeologists that are studying, and along with geologists that are studying the geological column of the time of the flood, find a very different story. You won't find it in the mainstream evolutionary body of knowledge, but there is a whole grouping of scientists, a large group of scientists now, that are known as the creationist flood account. And they're creationist geologists. They have discovered and can prove it by the dating and the column itself and all the other different factors, that at the time the flood began, the crust of the earth was ripped asunder And it circumvented the entire Earth twice. The ripping asunder of the plates of the crust was so violent that the earthquake itself, according to what they have been able to measure, continued for 5 total hours. And we've seen large 9.0 and 9.2 earthquakes here that go on for 3 to almost 4 or 5 minutes. But can you imagine 5 hours? And according to what they have been able to determine by the damage that was done on the rocks, the vibration and the shaking of the earthquake was so violent that it was shaking upwards of 100 feet in the air and then coming back down. And it would vault up that high and then drop down and then vault back up. And so those individuals that were thrown up in the air are the earth underneath them is falling faster than they are. And so they're falling down free fall, and the earth comes back up and meets them and smashes them to pieces. And it did that with many of the others, to include the dinosaurs, because the dinosaurs were still on the earth alive at the same time the mankind was. Now, that's just a little tidbit here. I don't have that citation for you. It'd make the entire continuation of level 12 of God and what we're studying now much too long. In fact, I didn't even include the copying over of the scriptures, but you can find the Genesis account of the flood from Genesis 6:9 to Genesis 8:22. And that gives you the entire account that's in the Bible. Continuing on, the next place we find is, of course, a few generations later after Noah, about 5 generations, and we have an individual that's called Nimrod. And about the only thing it says in the Bible is that he was a mighty hunter before God. Well, it means a mighty hunter against God. It turns out in Jasher you've got a whole account of a detailed account of what went on, and it tells that Nimrod was very unrighteous, and he taught the sons of men unrighteousness and taught them how to sin. Not a very good thing. Some surmise, and there is some indication, that a fallen angel had come down and had taken on the form that looked like Nimrod's father. And so his mother mistook the fallen angel to be her husband, had intercourse, of course, and then, lo and behold, Nimrod was born from that union, and it turns out that he had the genetics just like the Nephilim, the giants. And so the next thing we hear about Nimrod is that they're building the tower. He was one of the first that began to organize and group people into cities. and they had a city state over there, and they eventually called it Babel, simply because when God saw them building this tower, it was not just an ordinary tower. It was a portal, an opening up into heaven. And they were of one language and in unity and one accord. And they were building this particular edifice to challenge God. And so it tells there in Genesis 11:7 the account of what God did. Now, at that point in time, there were 70 major families that were building the tower. And it says in Genesis 11:7, the Lord says, "Go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." And, of course, that's the exact same thing that happened. They split up into those 70 major families into their own separate language groups, and then began to disperse across the face of the earth. However, Nimrod gathered them back together and established about 5 other cities in his particular kingdom. And that's when he began to teach unrighteousness to the sons of man. And it also tells in Jasher that his son Marduk was even worse than Nimrod, and there was an ancient proverb that came from that particular period of time, because Marduk was wicked and he created much wickedness. And so the proverb was, from the wicked comes forth wickedness. And that's quoted later on by David against Saul, by the way. But that proverb actually comes down to us from Nimrod's time. Continuing on with the unrighteousness of man, the parable saying, idle hands breed mischief, were words to that effect. Well, Sodom and Gomorrah were in a very lush expanse of land, and they had way too much time on their hands doing nothing, and so they began to become more evil. And because of that, God rained upon them, upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. That's found in Genesis 19:24. You can find those particular cities or the remainder of those cities at the southern end of the Dead Sea on the western side. And there actually are little stones of sulfur that are still there, and because they had encapsulated themselves in the debris and just snuffed themselves out eventually. But if you break off and find into the core of the debris, you'll find these little stones of sulfur, and you can actually light them, and they'll start burning again. That's part of a amateur archaeologist named Ron Wyatt in his discovery of that area. He made some major discoveries after that. The next thing we want to go to in the events of man is when Israel became, and his sons moved on down to Egypt. Now, it says in the Bible that there was going to be 400 years from the time, and it's actually from the time of the promise of God to Abraham to the time that they come out of Egypt. Because they're actually only in Egypt about 170 years of that 430 years. Now, when Moses is chosen to do that from the mountain and told by God to bring all of the people to the mountain, he then went back to Egypt and confronted Pharaoh. And we know the confrontation resulted in 10 plagues or supernatural plagues that occurred to Egypt. Interestingly enough, we'll probably end up seeing those same plagues with various intensification here in the end times that we're just now entering. So be on the lookout for those. I didn't copy over the scriptures on that one either, but you can find the story of the 10 plagues going from Exodus chapter 7, verse 14 to Exodus 12, verse 32. And by the way, if you want to follow along in this particular dialogue, you can go to my website, https://alive aliveontheedge.com, and the homepage will come up. On the homepage, we've now made it a little easier. You can go to the right-hand column, and on the very top is an entry that says the hierarchy of the spirits. You click on that, and you will immediately go to the introduction to this particular series. And if you go down to the bottom of the introduction, it has links to each one of these levels. And this is level 12, by the way, where you will find all this information. God parted the Red Sea. Now, we know that after they departed, they traveled day and night until they came down to the crossing point of the Red Sea. That particular point has actually been found now. The depth of the sea is about 2,400 feet at its lowest point. And they have found and recovered parts and pieces of the chariots and the warriors that were chasing after the Israelites. So it really did happen. Now, that particular event can be followed in Exodus 14, verses 1 through 31. Now, after that, they wandered on the other side of the Red Sea, and the Lord led them into the wilderness. And it's estimated that because of the number of warriors that were counted, that the total number of the population of the Israelites was 3 million souls. And you got to remember that 3 million souls plus all of their livestock that God was taking care of. He didn't just take care of just the human beings. He took care of all of their livestock as well. That would be a lot of water and a lot of feed in a wilderness that is barren. That particular account you can find in Exodus 16 Exodus 16 verse 1 through 17 verse 7 to follow that. Now, God caused Israel to cross the Jordan River after they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and all the first generation died off and their children were raised up instead. And Joshua led them across the Jordan River. We have another dry ground crossing at flood stage across the Jordan River. It turns out that the Lord gave instructions that the priests were to take the Ark of the Covenant and enter in to the water, stand still, as they when they were all of them that were carrying the Ark, and it was probably 900 to 1,000 pounds with all the gold that was on it. So it was a fairly heavy object. Probably six men or even eight were had their shoulders leaned into the poles that went through the loops that lifted the Ark up. You can find that particular account in Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, of them crossing the Jordan River in dry grounds. And it tells also in there, in that account in Joshua, how far the river backed up. And it's a considerable length of ground that backed up and stood up in a heap until everybody was across. So that's another miracle that the Lord performed. We are serving a God of miracles, a powerful and mighty God. Now, as we know, Jesus was with God and is God, and God the Father delighted in God the Son. And God the Son delighted in the creation of man. He delighted in God the Father and in the creation of man. I should have put that in there. And you can find that in John 1:1 and in Proverbs 8, verses 30 through 31. And both scriptures are referring to Jesus. And the John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." That's the title for Jesus right there. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So there's no doubt in what they're talking about and what God is talking about right there. Now, over in Proverbs, it's also talking about the Word. Actually, they're calling it wisdom. It's the same word in Greek, Hebrew here, where it's calling wisdom as the Word of God. And in Proverbs 8, verses 30 through 31, it says, "Then I was by him," meaning Jesus was by God, "as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delight was with the sons of men." And that still continues even today. Now, we'll end this particular section because if we kept on going, we'd have the whole Bible, and we just don't have room enough or time enough for all that because we want to narrow this down to what's contained in the particular levels and what the capability of God is in this particular case and the other created beings later on. Okay, so now we'll go to, if I can find it here, level 11. And level 11 of the spiritual beings is the heavenly realm of the third and the second heavens. Now, third heaven is where God's throne resides. Second heaven is what we see in our starry galaxies. The attributes of this particular level are good. The angels, now we're going to get into two main angels. The first one is going to be Michael. And he's the commander of the heavenly angels, according to the scriptures. And we find that actually very well explained in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, where it says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon," that's the devil, "and the dragon fought against his angels. Michael, also known as the archangel," yet Michael the archangel, "when contending," and we'll find out that that's his title by the scripture in Jude verse 9, where it says, "Yet Michael the archangel, who contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, daring not bring against him railing accusation, but it said, the Lord rebuke thee." We can do the same thing. In the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke thee. And tell Satan that. Okay? Now, I wouldn't try that if you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Because we all know what in the scriptures there in Acts where the seven sons of Sceva attempted to cast out a series of demons out of a demoniac. And the demoniac pounced upon them and said, because they were adjuring him in the God that Paul worshipped. And so they said, "Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you?" And they had no relationship, they had no power. So they were, all of them, that one man assaulted them so severely that they fled his house with all their clothes ripped off of them and they were naked. Now, there's another thing that happens, and that where he's known as one of the chief princes, and that we find in Daniel. Daniel 10, verse 13, where he says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia," see, each nation has its prince, and Persia, now known as Iran, by the way, "withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia." So we can find that out of that in that particular verse. Michael also is referred to as the angel in charge of Israel. And that's found in Daniel 10:5, where it says, "A certain man from heaven, clothed in linen, speaking to Daniel, referring to Michael, your prince, but I will shew thee," and that's, by the way, that's Daniel 10:21, where it says, "But I will shew thee that which is noted in the scriptures of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince." So for the nation of Israel, Michael is their prince. So he's not only the commander of the host of heaven, but he's also the prince of Israel, the archangel in charge of Israel. Now the next angel, significant angel, we're going to find in the scriptures is an angel called Gabriel. And we find him in Daniel and in Luke. And it says, "And I heard a man's voice between the bank of Uli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. And that's in Daniel 8:16. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me from the time of the evening oblation. That'd be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's Daniel 9:21. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. That's Luke 1:19. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. That's Luke 1:26. God's created beings of angels, the four creatures you find in Revelation, the archangels that you find in Revelation, and the seraphim, the teraphim, and those other titles that they have as well. There's no real hierarchy described in the Bible about where these angels fit, who does what, and who's in charge of who. We'll probably find that out when Christ comes. Nevertheless, all of the angels fellowship with God face to face. In fact, it tells that they actually keep the face of God. Those that are guardian angels of little children always behold the face of God, it says. And they're there for that purpose, to watch over and to protect and to do those things that God commands them to do for each one of us. They don't just do it while we're children. They're still here. Now, I have a statement here that says God has 2/3 of the angels with him, and Satan only has 1/3 of the angels with him. We get this reference from the concepts that stars also represent angels, and the statement in Revelation where Satan the dragon swept 1/3 of the stars from heaven, bringing them down to earth. And that scripture is in Revelation 12:4, where it says, and his tail drew the 1/3 part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child, that would be Jesus, as soon as it was born. Now, it continues on and says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found in any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And that's found in Revelation 12, verses 7 through 9. There are numerous internal levels of heaven and angels that are not listed. There are plenty of writings that claim to reveal the hierarchy of these angels in the angelic realm. The most famous ones are the major key of Solomon and the minor key of Solomon. Another famous hierarchy was drawn up by John D in 1527. He lived from 1527 to 1609. Now, they discount the one with King Solomon because they don't know whether he established this particular hierarchy before or after his fallen state. And so they're a little more cautious there as to endorsing it wholeheartedly. They just acknowledge that it's there. Anyway, John Dee, with the help of Skyer, Edward Kelly, also a man of questionable moral character, and that's why his is discounted as well. He was the court astronomer for Queen Elizabeth. Elizabeth I, and spent much of his time studying alchemy, divination, and hermetic philosophy. He signed his letters to the Queen 007, leading many to think he was a spy for her when he traveled to Europe. However, when King James I ascended the throne after Queen Elizabeth I, Dee was summarily dismissed from the court simply because of his shenanigans that he was carrying on with. As such, I do not trust either of these writings. I just give them to you as an acknowledgement. With King Solomon's works, we do not, just as I said before, we do not have the proper providence needed to determine whether these works were divinely inspired or written when he was in his fallen state. The problem with these works are obvious, as we've already described. And because he was practicing things strictly forbidden in the communications, particularly with untested and familiar spirits, any reading of his works will demonstrate clearly that he did not properly test the spirits that he was listening to. And those cautions about those familiar spirits and not listening to them are found in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 26, 31, and 31, Deuteronomy 18, verses 10, 1 John 4, 1 through 2. By the way, a skier uses a crystal ball or some other kind of divining instrument, via dining rod, peepstone, to discover information from the spirit world. And so you can see they're not going to the Lord God himself to find out their information. So you're very, very prone to be deceived and led totally astray. So I wouldn't follow after that at all. Now, in addition to these heavenly beings, these spirit beings, heaven also is included, it also does include souls and spirits of the righteous dead awaiting their resurrection. Now remember, the resurrection happens first, and then right on its heels in 1/10,000th of a second following theirs comes the rapture. But it has to be the resurrection first. And as you read the scriptures, I would caution you about grabbing on to the false doctrine that's out there right now of the pre-tribulation rapture. because that requires Christ to come and go and come and go and come and go. Not only twice, but multiple times if you read into some of the interpretations that they have come up with. And the scriptures that they're using they're taking completely out of context and stretching it to try to make it include an inference. And that's all it is an inference to an event. Whereas the scriptures themselves plainly say that the resurrection happens at the end, on the day of the Lord. And that's a specific time frame. It's not a group of days. It is a day. In fact, if you go into Revelation, you very likely will find out that it's even a shorter period of time, because it tells about the silence in heaven. If you've heard about that in Revelation, there was silence in heaven for a half an hour. The reason for that is because God had gotten up off of his throne. While he's on the throne, there's adoration and praise and joy and gladness being proclaimed and sung all along. But as soon as he rose up out of his throne and stepped out onto earth, he's no longer in heaven. And so heaven is quiet for that period of time that he's absent. And you can put two and two together. He was gone for half an hour. Well, that's the length of time it's going to take to destroy the wicked and all evil and all sin off the face of the earth. Okay. Now, let's see, how much time do we have? Oh, we got 14 minutes or so.
Yes, sir.
We can continue. Yeah, we can continue on. Now we're going to get into the hierarchy of the levels 8 through 10. And these are the, what do I want to call them? Head honchos over all of the rest of the levels. We'll go from level 10 down to level 3. Those are the levels that were specifically delineated as the hierarchy of spiritual beings and command and control and the order of battle of Satan and his cohorts, along with the willing accomplices of human beings. And we'll find that they're directly interacting with these human beings as we go along. Now, the reason I put in God first is because God is first. And you need to know what God is and can do and has done and will do. That's part of his order of battle. What we know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whatever he did before, he can do again and he will do again. Now we're going to go into the levels that are evil. And the first ones are the spirit beings that are found in this particular area. it occurs on earth and in some of the celestial dimensions as well. There will be a period of time where some of the conduct of the fallen angels up in heaven, on the fringes of the third heaven, because they are called there from time to time. We find that out in Job, where God calls all of his creation, and Satan appears along with them. And that, of course, is up in the third heaven, so we know that they interact back and forth. But that's not going to be the case here very shortly. In the last 3.5 years left in this period of time called the end times, will be the only time that Satan will have a larger range of operation than before. And it'll be the times will be so bad that, as God said, except that God himself limits that time, there would be no man or no flesh left alive. Okay. The individuals are totally depraved. They're evil and full of hatred. They are the fallen angels. And some of the aliens make up the fallen angels as well as demons. In Enoch 10, chapter 10, verses 13 through 14, it says, God says he addresses the giants, the Nephilim, and he calls them the union between women and fallen angels as bastards. That's their title from God himself. They had no souls, and they don't have any souls. And their spirits, after the giant's death, are called evil spirits or demons, and they roam on earth. They're disembodied spirits. Okay? That's where they come from. These levels contain evil from Satan's seed and his kingdom. The fallen angels and demons are interdimensional, and they don't need any device to travel throughout the galaxies and into either the second or third heaven or back on earth. They're just like God's angels. In fact, before they were fallen angels, they were God's angels. Now, the other group of spirit beings are ETs, extraterrestrial, as we know them. Some of the species are interdimensional, but need devices to travel. We usually call those devices UFOs. They're made up of various designs, such as saucers, cigar-shaped vehicles, or triangular-shaped vehicles, some of them quite large, hundreds of feet, even up to over 1,000 feet in size. And they're propelled by a force similar to our electromagnetic and anti-gravity force. We don't currently in the public arena, we don't have the anti-gravity force, but I've understood and heard briefings where they claim that we really do have the technology for anti-gravity already, but it's so highly secret that they're not releasing it. Then the last groupings are evil, wicked human beings. And they're open to various levels of possession and even ownership by the demons and the fallen angels due to the humans, inordinate lust and greed and desire for revenge, fame, power, or position. Now, even though these individuals can be demon possessed, there's been some debate on whether or not a Christian can be or a saint can be. Well, if you turn your back on God or Jesus, you can become subject to being possessed. On the other hand, if you turn your face toward Jesus and you hold him in your focus, you will receive the Spirit of God dwelling richly in you. In other words, you're going to be possessed by the Spirit of God. What better spirit could there be? None, actually. All of these particular three groupings of beings definitely hate mankind. Remember, it says the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. And that's in the first half of John 10:10. they will try to overcome and destroy all flesh, all mankind. Because they can't make a soul, they try to get man to gravitate towards them and give them their loyalty, mankind to give them, the demons loyalty, so that they can sell their souls. And that's the only way, is by the free will choice of a man selling his soul for whatever pleasure he wants. Now, the battle that's going on between evil and good will wear down the saints, those who know their God, however, will do great exploits. But at this time, the saints of God will, will do exploits, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That's found in Daniel 11, verse 32. If you want to find that, look it up and study it. And that's important, because there is going to be a battle here. We are going to be wore down. But even though we're wore down, we still can retaliate and be strong and do exploits under the power of God. Now, these demonic individuals are also known as the great deceivers, and we are in the time frame of the time on earth known as the time of great deception, and Jesus warned us about that. However, where God can simultaneously interact and have contact and communication with all 7+ billion individuals at the same time, these particular entities, these particular spirits are limited and can only communicate and have contact and interaction sequentially, one at a time. That's why Satan has to have his kingdom set up with all of its various agencies that report into him, because everybody can't be in the same place at the same time. These individuals are unable to interact with everyone and everything simultaneously and continuously all at once like God can. And they cannot overcome God. It may appear that they are, and they will claim that they can. But no matter how hard they try, they can't. Remember also, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. Yet, in contrast, but at this time, the saints of God will exploit, and such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt by flatteries, just as we read. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I want to emphasize that again. Now, these are interdimensional beings, fallen angels. For further details, see the listing at ancientevil.com. And there's quite a listing there that Tom Mack has put together. And right now we got about 2 minutes, and so I don't really want to go into the next particular subject area, because it's going to take us quite a while. So, for those of you that are wanting to follow along in this, you can be in contact with those writings that I have and that my publisher, Tom Mack, assists me with. He, by the way, put up the website. I don't do those things anymore. I've not done that kind of thing for 50 years now, so I'm way out of practice and out of information to do it. And plus the fact that I got burned out so bad that I don't even want to see it anymore, that particular kind of stuff. That's just a personal thing. Nevertheless, my website again is aliveontheedge.com. Those that desire to communicate with me can communicate through email, and that is tom@aliveontheedge.com. Now, let's pray before we leave one another. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will cause your word to go forth, to pour your words into the mouth of every individual that you so desire. To include myself, I pray that what we speak might come as your words from you and not our own words spoken presumptuously. We thank you, Father, that we can be your children. We ask that your hand be upon us now until we meet again. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I say amen. Brother Tom, what shall we title this for the archive tonight?
The hierarchy of... how do I want to say that? The hierarchy of spiritual beings in the war between good and evil, level 12, 11, in the beginning of levels 8 through 10.
I'm going to have something shorter. It won't fit.
I tell you you got to have something shorter? Okay,
think it over.
The first four levels of the listing of the and the order of battle.
Okay, sounds good. Brother, we love you. We'll see you next time.
Thank
God
you.
Bless you, Brother Tom.
God bless you, too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, brother. Okay, folks, let's get Kevin and Barbara Gallagher on. Stand by.